You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. Moving on, we are talking about IMGE. This is a consulting firm based in Washington, D.C., and they left their Amazon Cloud Storage System database that contained names, phone numbers, home addresses, and email addresses of about 50,000 individuals, and this is where it gets bad, including more than 6,000 employees of the United States' primary aerospace and defense contractor, Boeing. And they left this publicly accessible online. Boeing employees impacted ranged from senior executives to program managers to government relations personnel and even one executive at the company's advanced prototyping arm that handles classified work for the U.S. government. Basically, IMGE just gave a roadmap to state-sponsored hackers and intelligence agencies, a roadmap on Boeing's inner workings in terms of their employees. That's insane. Moving on, we're going to be talking about Marietta Power and Water. This is out of Georgia, and they just got hit with the Click2Gov breach. So between August 26th and October 26th, basically they got exposed. Their customers got exposed, and they are the largest municipal electric utility in Georgia, serving more than 45,000 power and 17,000 water and sewer customers. So if you are listening to this in Georgia and you use Marietta Power and Water, heads up, you were exposed. The next Click2Gov breach that we had in the last couple of weeks was the city of Sugar Land, Texas. I do not know the particulars of that, but they're Click2Gov. So if you are in the city of Sugar Land, Texas, and you are paying things like utilities, etc., between August 26 and October 26, you are also hit. Moving on, Ring Doorbell by Amazon. A security researcher found on the dark web 1,562 unique email addresses and passwords associated with Ring Doorbell accounts. The list of passwords were uploaded a couple of weeks ago to an anonymous dark web sharing site commonly used to share stolen passwords and other illicit material. A security researcher found the cache of email addresses and passwords, which can be used to log into and access the cameras, as well as their time zone and the doorbell's location, such as driveway or front door, you know, however you're labeling your cameras. The researcher reported these findings to Amazon, which owns the brand, but Amazon famously basically said not to discuss it publicly and they would take care of it. Amazon has a notorious and horrible history of not being transparent about things that I have reported here on this radio show, as well as in video and podcast form, as I do those daily. So if you have a Ring doorbell, heads up, you may have been exposed. It's a small number of you, but nevertheless, there have been a lot of Ring doorbell issues this year that I have written and talked on about. Now, moving on, we're going to be talking about China Citizen Watch. This is the official Chinese division of the Japanese watch giant Citizen, and also Bulova. So Bulova or Bulova and Citizen basically are part of Citizen, and China Citizen Watch is their division. And basically, China Citizen Watch and Bulova Watch Company were affected because China Citizen Watch or its hosting company left an unsecure server online with more than 150 terabytes of files, copies of backups from various workstations and email systems for about 500 internal Citizen employees and staff, as well as many from Bulova as well. So some of the files basically in the system contain usernames, emails, plain text passwords, meaning you could read them, very easily. There was no encryption to protect the passwords and all of that. And so this is a very serious issue for the Citizen Watch company. And if you work for Citizen Watch, heads up, or have anything to do intimately related with them, not just buying watches, obviously. So heads up to you. Moving on, we're going to be talking about Wawa. This is a supermarket chain based out of Philadelphia, if I recall. And if you bought anything with your credit or debit card from Wawa between March 4th and December 12th, your personal information might have been stolen. On December 10th, the company found malware on its servers that it uses to process payments at potentially all 850 Wawa location. So heads up to you if you shop at Wawa. Moving on, we're going to be talking about Honda the car company. An exposed database was discovered leaking the personal information of 26,000 North American Honda owners and their vehicles. The Elasticsearch database in question is owned by the American Honda Motor Company, the North American subsidiary of Honda Motor Company out of Japan. Full names, email addresses, mailing addresses, phone numbers of vehicle owners, as well as vehicle makes, models, VINs, agreement IDs, and other service information. And so if you own a Honda in North America, heads up, you might have been exposed. Moving on, we're going to be talking about two branches of the Singapore government, the Ministry of Defense and the Singapore Armed Forces. Two malware incidents involving third-party vendors, which were the HMI Institute of Health and Sciences and ST Logistics, basically got these two hit. The systems at ST Logistics affected by malware contain the full names and NRIC numbers and combinations of contact numbers, email addresses, or residential addresses of about 2,400 Ministry of Defense or Singapore Armed Forces personnel. So heads up, if you are listening to me via SoundCloud or wherever in Singapore and you work for one of those two, you may have been affected. Moving on, we're going to be talking about Twitter. Now, this news is coming out of India. Twitter, about a week and a half ago or so, admitted a malicious code was inserted into its app by a bad actor that may have compromised some users' information worldwide, as people basically woke up to this email from Twitter warning them to update their app for Android. Now, this vulnerability within Twitter for Android could allow basically the bad actor to see non-public account information or control your account, basically sending tweets or direct messages, and Twitter has basically, said, hey, update your app and all of that. Now, this news came out of India. I did not get any kind of notification on my Twitter saying I had a malicious update from Twitter, but Twitter has apparently fixed it and closed that hole. So heads up, if you send out any erroneous tweets that people are complaining about, you might have been affected. Moving on, we're going to be talking about the United Kingdom government, the UK. They are apologizing after they accidentally published addresses of more than 1,000 New Year Honor recipients online. Now, this file, which included details of senior police officers and politicians, was uploaded to an official website on Friday evening and then removed Saturday once it was discovered. Among the addresses of those that were dumped online were Sir Elton John and other celebrities, major politicians, and CEOs of large corporations that are heavily invested with the UK. So heads up to the celebrities, major politicians, and CEOs in the UK. Your data got exposed. Moving on, we're going to be talking about Maastricht University. They are in the Netherlands. They had a ransomware hit, and I quote, "Almost all Windows systems have been affected, and it is particularly difficult to use email services," the university said in a statement. So if you recall, I started this with a university in Germany. Now it's the Netherlands' turn. They got hit. No word if they're going to have their students line up and manually swap out passwords. But hopefully, it'll be quick and easy for them to recover. So if you have anything to do with Maastricht, heads up to you. And then we're going to talk about Wyze, W-Y-Z-E. This is an IoT vendor. They sell smart devices like security cameras, smart plugs, smart light bulbs, smart door locks, et cetera, et cetera. They have millions of customers out there. They just confirmed in the last week or so that a server leak exposed the details of roughly 2.4 million customers. An internal database was accidentally exposed online, according to YZE, Wyze, their co-founder. Email addresses customers used to create their accounts, nicknames users assigned to their security cameras, Wi-Fi network, SSID identifiers, and for 24,000 users, actually reset tokens for their Amazon Echoes, for security. So they're linking it in a secure manner. Those tokens all got dumped, which means somebody would be able to spoof your Amazon Echo and then take control of your smart devices. That's a very serious issue. And so if you have WYZE or Waze or Wyze IoT devices in your home, heads up to you. And finally, I've got two actual finalies, if you will, that I really want to talk about. One of which is I think the next evolution that we're going to start seeing in 2020 of ransomware. Now, if you are familiar with ransomware, and most of you are, but for those that are not, basically the latest version of ransomware locks out your data. You have to pay somebody to get your money back. A lot of organizations that have things like cloud backups end up not paying, and they just restore from their last backup, ideally, you know, very quickly. And the delta between the backup and when the ransomware hit, hopefully, is very a very small period of time. But now, if you don't pay up, ransomware gangs will publicly expose your data. Now, this new tactic basically is making what is oftentimes a horrible situation for the victims even worse. Because even if you have ransomware, let's say you have those backups and you don't need to pay it, instead of just locking your data out and saying, okay, you just have to pay us money and we'll get your data back, they're now exfiltrating the data. They're now copying the data, then ransoming it out and saying, if you don't pay us, you know, because you're going to go to backup or you don't care about the data, we're just going to dump it on the dark web now. And here's the thing. Even if you do pay, and let's say they unlock your data or you restore from one of your backups, there's no reason why they couldn't try to hit you again or ransom you again in the future or just dump it into the dark web. There's no honor among thieves. That is a very, very serious issue, and that is on the rise. And so as we see ransomware starting to continue to proliferate, it has been exploding for the last couple of years, we are now turning it up to another level, or rather the hackers are, and I think that is a horrible, horrible situation to be in. And finally, and this is my finally, I think this is probably one of the most damning data breaches, even though it is very narrow in scope. The New York Times was able to track President Trump's movements with leaked location data, showing how easy it is to spy on people via their mobile phones. Now, the Times said that it used leaked phone data to track the movements of someone in his entourage, which they believe was a Secret Service agent, as well as found the agent's name and home address. The Times said it replicated this exercise and identified workers at numerous sensitive sites in Washington, D.C., including the Pentagon, the Supreme Court, and Capitol Hill. The ease with which non-experts at the Times could do this shows the extreme vulnerability in location data. Hostile states are hostile states that can grab this information would take it to the next level and obviously do malicious things, something that the New York Times obviously wouldn't do to this. But this really underscores the problem that we have. And it's not just the tracking of a president. It's the availability of our location data, because we don't have actual laws here in the United States that prevent third parties from looking at this information. The police were using an outfit called Location Smart, where without a warrant, they could go in and say, okay, show me Nick Espinoza's location via his mobile phone, and my mobile carrier would then basically ping me. They would be able to see that I am sitting here in a radio station talking to you lovely people, and that's the problem that we have. I did not give consent to that, nor do the police need me to give consent. That's a very serious issue. It's basically, I don't want to say circumventing the law, because there is no law. And so that's something that we have to look at. And if we are able to track the president of the United States by virtue of tracking a Secret Service agent attached to protecting the president, that's a massive problem. I don't care what your politics are. This has nothing to do with right or left, red or blue. This is a human problem, and you have it wherever you're sitting listening to me. I don't care if you're 12 or 120, we have this problem, and we need to address this to the point where nobody should be tracked, including the president of the United States. So those are your breaches of the week. If you have Facebook, you were affected. Hopefully none of the others affected you. And with that, let's move on. You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for the Deep Dive segment, where we take a closer and deeper look at a cybersecurity, cyber warfare, or technology issue around us. And if you have any suggestions for a Deep Dive segment or something you'd like me to dive into, you can once again find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick A. ESP. Again, that's Nick A. ESP. Or you can send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. That's questions@securityfanatics.com. I am more than happy to take a look at it. And if it meets our standards, we are more than happy to do a deep dive on it. So let's begin. And this week's deep dive is actually the first of 2020. And it's something that I think we really need to discuss society-wide, as this is a problem that is getting basically worse. It's getting more and more complex. And quite frankly, I think it's directly harming our children. And that is the fact that technology is starting to kill our autonomy. And I think that's something that is huge. Now, this was actually an article that was sent to me by one of my listeners, Jacqueline Wolf, and it's from a Washington Post article from actually December 24th, Christmas Eve. And so here's the backdrop of what's going on. And I want to make five critical points once I kind of lay all of this out, because quite frankly, we have a lot to discuss here. Now, colleges are turning students' mobile phones or their smartphones into surveillance machines, basically tracking the locations of hundreds of thousands of students, at least nationwide here in the United States. And I quote from the article, "Short-range phone sensors and campus-wide Wi-Fi networks are empowering colleges across the United States to track hundreds of thousands of students more precisely than ever before. Dozens of schools now use technology to monitor students' academic performance, analyze their conduct, or assess their mental health." Now, by virtue of this, I'd like to make, as I said, five major points on this, and I think that these are beyond critical. And for the record, if you are on one of the handful of college radio stations, or rather listening to me on one of the handful of college radio stations, or you're in college listening to me, I would love to get your feedback on this. You can find, I basically listed out the preamble. You can also find me on SoundCloud or LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. But I think this is something that we need to discuss. And I talked a little bit about this in video about a week or two ago or so, and I had an amazing discussion on LinkedIn regarding this. And I'm going to actually expand on this, because instead of having the 5 to 7 minute format I try to keep my videos to, this is my 1 hour radio show. And so here we go. Now, the first major point that I'd like to basically state is that these systems, these tracking systems, represent a new era in intrusive technology, which is basically breaching students' privacy on a massive scale. So in other words, they could be basically installing this app for their from their college that says, oh, you'll get your class schedule and let's say other relevant college information. And then this is actually turning on the sensors, if you will, and letting the school know, oh, you know, are you actually on campus most of the time? Are you off campus? What's your attendance like? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so that is something that I think college students, definitely in the past, prior to this, have really never had to contend with. We are being tracked pretty much 24/7, especially if you're a college student. The second major point that I would like to make here is that this is going to train many people, and we're talking about college students, basically to see surveillance as a normal part of living, whether they like it or not. It's just there. When I am thinking of authoritarian regimes like, you know, China or North Korea, which really turns it up to 11, you know, they are constantly being surveilled, and the society just basically puts up with it and says, well, you know, my neighbors might be spying on me, or, you know, my cell phone might be turning on its camera and its microphone, and the government may be listening in. That's just normal part of the day. So now I'm going to adjust my behavior to make sure that I'm only saying, in this case, good things about, you know, the government. This is not something I think we want as a society, to basically say, you know what, we have inherent privacy, when we've had that since basically the founding of the Constitution in this country. And now it's basically becoming the norm. We have cameras on every street corner for, you know, basically red light tickets or, you know, policing, all that kind of stuff. And now in college campuses, we are seeing this turned up to 11. The third major point I'd like to make is that we expect our children, not college kids, but our children in general, to grow into functioning adults. And at the college level, do they really need to be tracked like this? Think about this. Part of graduating from high school into college is that you're getting, for the most part, you're getting out of your parents' house. You're given more autonomy, more flexibility. It is up to you to basically succeed or fail. And in this case, a college campus is a lot safer. You know, failing a class is a lot safer than, let's say, you know, failing in the real world in that sense. And now we are basically not allowing that to happen. So if we are basically putting everybody into a lane, into a box, and you are seeing that, you know, that we are being tracked left and right, it is very hard to pivot and become something else. It is very hard to want to explore and fail on your own. And you can just see it from, you know, from many different angles, which kind of leads me into the fourth major point. This constant checking on our progress, because again, if we're being surveilled and we have apps that we can install into the phone, and you know, from middle school to high school and college, parents in real time are getting their parents' grades. They now have the ability, the parents have the ability to come down on the kids and apply pressure literally on a daily basis if they don't, you know, like the way that, you know, their child or their college student is progressing. That's an issue. It hinders the autonomy and the flexibility to live and perform on our own. But it also, and more importantly, I think, adds a great deal of pressure, as I just said. Look at the apps that keep these parents up to date in real time. It's a very serious issue that we have when we have these kinds of things. I didn't have that growing up. My parents, from quarter to quarter in grade school, junior high, high school, didn't know how I was doing until I got that report card. And either everything was great and they just let me go about my business, or if I was struggling or falling behind, you better believe that my parents would be on me to make sure my homework was done on time, I was turning things in, I was doing good on tests. And then once I was, they would back off. We are losing that by having this constant 24/7 surveillance, not just by colleges, but also by parents. So with that, I'd like to talk about the fifth major point here. And I think this is the one that really drives this home, because we are, through our surveillance and our technology, starting to kill this autonomy, starting to surveil basically the younger generations in a way that they had never been surveilled before. And all of that is taking place in the backdrop of social media, which in and of itself is generating an absolute ton of harm to a lot of young people. And I want you to consider this. And part of this comes from an article that I wrote for Michael Smirkanish of CNN and SiriusXM that basically speaks about the issues with social media. And so in a comprehensive psychological study performed on children and social media, Gene Twenge uses data from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health to track the mental health and drug use of teens in the United States. Now, the data set was compiled by the National Survey, had responses from more than 200,000 kids between the ages of 12 and 17, as well as over 400,000 responses from young adults aged 18 and older between the years of 2005 and 2017. Twenge found that during this time period, major depression symptoms exploded with an astonishing 52% in teens and 63% in young adults over the past decade. 20%, or literally one in five girls, were now experiencing major depression episodes. Psychological distress during this time period also rose to 71% in people aged 18 to 25. Death from suicide increased 56% between 2018 and 2017 in 18 to 19 year olds. That's insane. And when we look at the number of users of social media between this time period, we can also see an explosion in the adoption rate of social media. Looking at Facebook's numbers in terms of user population, we can see that from the third quarter of 2008, they had 100 million active users, which continued to rise by tens of millions of users quarter after quarter until the end of 2017, when they had 2.1 billion users. Now, if you combine that with the fact that Pew Research ran a study of technology adoption across multiple generations and found that younger generations were the ones to adopt not only social media platforms faster than anyone, but also the mobile technology that takes this new form of socialization wherever they go, this is the correlation that points to social media as one of the primary drivers in this almost unbelievable increase in depression, suicide, and more. Now, while this is not implying causation, it is definitely a critical connection. So this desire for likes, this desire for followers, et cetera, plus we are ramping up the surveillance game, plus bullying no longer stays in schools because of social media. It follows you home on your smartphone or your computer. we are setting up this perfect storm for kids to feel surveilled, kids to feel like they don't have autonomy, parents to go overboard in watching them 24 hours a day. And on top of it, there is now this unbelievable pressure to get likes, to get followers, to put yourself out there. Surveys have shown that a ton of youth want to be YouTubers as opposed to scientists or pilots or doctors or, you know, whatever that is. This is the world that we live in. And we are sitting here basically turning this up. And I understand as an organization, as an institution, let's say as a foundation of what a college is, that college wants more information. They want to track you. Disney, for example, is the perfect example of this that is basically doing it to everybody that enters, you know, the Disney World Park. I would assume Disneyland as well. They give you a magic band. It basically connects to your it's a band that's like on your wrist. They connect it to your credit card and it becomes your room key, your credit card. But they are also tracking wherever you go. Disney now can see what parts of their park are heavily trafficked at what times, what aren't. This may make them decide, okay, maybe we're going to remove an attraction. Maybe we're going to add a secondary attraction or expand it, you know, whatever that is. They are able to track and see what is working and what is not in real time. Colleges and other large public organizations, and college, I would say, is public only in the sense that a lot of large colleges have tens of thousands of students and massive campuses, you know, that possibly rival Disney World, although usually not as big. And so they want that kind of telemetry. They want that kind of information. But then when it ties to consequences or performance for the student, that's a serious issue. You know, if you are in college and let's say you're missing half of your classes because your mobile phone is simply not there, should the college be able to admonish you for that? What if you're still passing all of your classes? What if you're bored there? You know, shouldn't it be up to the teacher to say, you know what, I haven't seen Bill or Sally in my class for 6 weeks, so they are clearly going to get an F. And, you know, where does this begin and where does this end? Not to mention the fact, where do you basically, I don't want to say take the leash off, but where do you step back and say, you know what, colleges have worked for literally centuries without needing to track the steps and the movements, and we have graduated tons, thousands, millions of people through colleges that have led normal, productive, and functioning lives without needing this helicopterism that is going around with them. I think that's a serious problem. And so as we are looking at this, as we are growing, you know, the next generation, you know, those young adults in college and those high school kids coming up behind them and those middle schoolers coming up behind them, we are turning this up, which means we are possibly stifling creativity. And thank you so much for tuning in this week. It was another fun show, and I think we covered a lot of really good stuff, and I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did.